Hello, welcome to Young Valley Leaders, WDIY's newest monthly show featuring the upcoming movers and shakers in your backyard and making it happen for themselves and in our community. I'm your host, Lewis Holzman, and today I'm here with Josh Eagle.
Good to be here, Lewis.
Thanks for coming in, buddy. Originally, you're a transplant to the Valley, right?
Ish, yeah, kind of, sort of? Ish, I mean, definitely newer. My dad moved to Bethel when I was in the fifth grade.
Okay.
So I've definitely spent, grew up part of my life in the Valley, definitely growing up here. Went away for college, went to Seton Hall for my undergrad.
Then you've since found a home, right? I believe you have a home in Allentown at this point.
My wife and I live in Allentown. I've lived in Allentown since 2016, but my wife joined me in March and bought a house right by Jordan Park.
Awesome. Well, we'd love to have you, and thank you being here for the Valley, and not just here for you yourself, but also since then, really making your mark on various government, social services organizations, really leading up to your current role as a PA state representative for the 22nd district. That's pretty incredible. So thanks for doing all that, and thanks for your time here today.
Oh, thank you.
We're definitely going to dig into that a little bit and see how that path really got you there. But I guess before even getting to your career, you mentioned, in and out with your family since the fifth grade of the Valley. Why did you decide to make the Valley a permanent place here for you and now your wife?
Yeah, well, I'd say my parents got divorced when I was in the fifth grade. My dad came out to the Valley, so I obviously didn't know much about it at the time, but definitely just fell in love with it growing up. Just loved Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton. We used to do First Fridays, so we always used to be Southside Bethlehem. We used to go downtown and get Lehigh Pizza and check all the storefronts out. So I just, I love the vibe, love the atmosphere. And then I went to Seton Hall from undergrad just because, I graduated high school in Jersey. And, I realized, I really wanted to come back. I love the Lehigh Valley. I love the balance of the, the cities. You're never too far from any kind of different atmosphere. You want to go hike. You got Jacobsburg out in Northampton. And, you want a city atmosphere. You got Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton. So you got a good mixture of rural and urban culture, everywhere. And what I really just love about the Lehigh Valley is it's this place that's still, writing its history, right? So many places in the country and the world are, there's a nostalgia, right? It's all about the past. And I just think what's so exciting about the Valley is that, we are reinventing ourselves constantly. And so, every one of us gets to be a part of that story. And I just wanted to be one part of that, get to make a difference here in my own way and leave my mark.
I love that, dude. I really like that perspective. That's really cool. That's kind of unique and writing that history. And I think that's a lot of people will share that same sentiment. But we also have a lot of people that are still looking back at the nostalgia.
Yeah.
Right?
And there's nothing wrong with that, I don't think. It's cool. We respect our past, but we're so focused on the future, which is cool.
So as you talk about making your mark, being a small piece here, you're an elected official.
Yeah.
Through a couple different means, the most recent within state representative. Before we talk about what you do per se, can you just break down that branch of government, the state representative, what body of work are they doing? What does that do within our government structure?
Yeah, so Pennsylvania's got the largest full-time legislature in the nation, right? So there's 203 House reps, there's 50 state senators and one governor. It's a big body. So we're full-time. This is my full-time job. When I'm not in Harrisburg legislating, we're back in district in my office at community events, making sure we're present in the community.
Where is your district office?
So I'm on 1801 Union Boulevard.
Okay.
Pretty accessible. It's on a bus route. It's right by Domino's. If you ever get hungry, it's a good corridor. But it's fantastic. Yeah, so, Harrisburg, basically, we're the legislature, right? So we are the core branch of government. We're responsible for making laws that affect generally every part of your day-to-day life. I always say the closer you get to home, the more important government becomes, right? And we have a pretty big impact on people's lives, right? Everything from public education, roads, bridges, public safety. We are making those day-to-day consequential decisions. And like I said, we're full-time, so that means, a lot of states part-time. They might meet for 1 month out of every 2 years. We are meeting annually, right? We have, 75, 90 session days a year, depending on the scale of our duties and how long it's taking to get things done. But yeah, we are just like Congress in D.C., we are your state legislature, right? We are your local state representative, your local legislators.
Hey man, so you're not busy at all, huh?
No, never, man, no, never. All the free time in the world.
I imagine you're out and about at a lot of different events in the community here locally within your district, but also you're in Harrisburg a fair amount of time too, right? So what is a day in the life of Josh Eagle or a PA state representative? What does that look like?
In Harrisburg, it's kind of a whirlwind. I like to say Harrisburg, there's just, what I love about the job is there's a lot of spontaneity. I can't do the mundane. I love, every day being different. So, every day my calendar looks different. My schedule looks different. Harrisburg is a lot of a whirlwind. You're on the floor. You're off the floor. Things are moving a mile a minute. Especially when you're a freshman rep, a lot of it is learn to follow and learn to sort of you follow your senior members and you get a sense of where things are at.
Do you feel like you have your bearings by now? How, it's been like a year.
About a year and a half. It's like drinking through a fire hose when you get there. It's a lot all at once. You know, you're learning your committees. You're trying to figure out how to get around the building. It's a lot like college, like freshman year of college. Okay. You're like trying to figure out like where the bathrooms, where are all the main rooms. How do you get here? Don't get lost on the way to the floor. But it's fun. I mean, you know, it's Harrisburg's a lot of meeting with stakeholders. So it's a lot of folks that have different interests. You know, you're meeting with groups advocating for seniors and early childhood education. And I love it because you're getting to hear from folks who have this just genuine, authentic perspective that just care about a particular issue and they're advocating on its behalf. And I really enjoy that work. I love getting to hear people's stories. I love getting to hear, you know, what matters to them. And really, it's a tremendous education because there's a humility that comes with it because you just can't know everything.
Sure.
You know, everybody comes with their passion, right? Like, I really care about housing and public transportation. But folks will come in and they'll, you know, you learn about so many different things that honestly you didn't know was as big an issue as maybe you thought it was.
How do you strike that balance, right? I mean, obviously it's collaboration. That's what the point of government is, to bring people in and have representative across these different issues. But striking that balance is, I'm imagining, it's a pretty big challenge.
It's tough, right? You know, it's a $48 billion budget, right? It's trying to figure out, like, you know, how does every priority slot in? And you know, we have to have a balanced budget by law, right? We can't deficit spend. We're a state. So, you know, we have to it's a tough to balance all those priorities, right? There's hundreds of different groups that, you know, all want their sort of line item, their own, like, you know, investment. That's a tough thing to do, right? You know, because everything does matter, right? I mean, it's hard to tell anybody no. It's not as if anyone's priority isn't relevant or it's not important. It's just there's only so many resources to go around, right? And there's only so much we can do in any given year.
Yeah,
that's the hardest part, is everybody's perspective is valid and everybody's got a core concern that you care about. And I don't think you do this job without a tremendous amount of empathy and compassion, right? Like, this inherently comes from like innate care for the community and wanting to make people's lives less difficult, less hard, investing in people, making sure everybody can realize, you know, their fullest potential. It's hard when you know that like there's only so far you can go in a given year. I think that's the toughest part. It's learning to balance that.
Okay. Just pulling the lens up a little bit, PA state representative, and then you have state senators,
yep,
and then you have the governor,
yep,
right? So the three of them are working together in a similar way of like the president, Senate, representative on a federal level.
Yeah, just think of it as melted down to basically analogous to, you know, you have the state Senate, which is just like the United States Senate. You've got the House of Representatives, which is just like U.S. House of Representatives, and you've got the governor and the, I mean, it's the same thing. It's that legislative collaboration. We are also a split legislature. So
what does that mean?
House is controlled by Democrats. Mm-hmm. Senate is controlled by Republicans. Governor is a Democrat. Same thing in D.C., right? Flipped. You've got a Democratic Senate, Republican House, Democratic President. So the name of the game is always compromise. The name of the game is, you know, not everybody gets what they want, and you got to learn to work together. Part of the thing I love about Harrisburg is, you know, I built really good bipartisan relationships. I love to, you know, work with folks because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, right? We're all there to do the people's work. And so you meet folks who really come from different perspectives, different backgrounds. But they're all there, I think, generally to make a difference, and because they care about their community back home.
Sure. Yeah, because living here in the Lehigh Valley or in Philadelphia different than other folks than in Carlisle or something like
that.
Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. You know, like some folks represent multiple counties, right? You know, I represent mostly the city of Allentown and Eastern Salisbury, but it's a totally different perspective when folks are representing, you know, dozens and dozens of towns and spread over much bigger geography, right? Some of these districts are huge because there's just very few people and it's very sparse.
So, thinking about what you're working on right now, or maybe some things you did work on, some things that are coming up, any projects that you're really excited about or that you were maybe integral part of that you want to speak to?
Yeah, well, I'm really big in the housing space, right? So housing is sort of my core concern. It's my biggest passion. I think here in the Lehigh Valley, we all certainly know we've got a housing crunch, right?
For sure.
We all feel it. I just bought my first house, and you know, mortgage rates were the hardest thing for me, right? It's expensive. You know, my dad bought much earlier, and so I'm very jealous for his mortgage. I would kill for that mortgage rate. But look, we know home prices are really expensive, right? Because there's a huge demand.
Demand itself, even, right? Number one mid-sized market metro in the country right now.
Yeah, and a lot of our problem in the Lehigh Valley is the cost is the supply and demand problem, right? It's that there's so many people that want to live here, got a great quality of life, good schools, just we're a great place to live. The secret's out, too. I think post-pandemic, even more people discovered, hey, the Lehigh Valley is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But look, that means we got to build more houses, right? We got to build enough so that everybody who wants to live here can find a place that's affordable. So I've really enjoyed working in the housing space, pushing for additional dollars to help build affordable housing and just in general build more housing, because it's a problem at both ends of the income spectrum. Like, the one thing I find most interesting is that, like, the Lehigh Valley has a shortage of 34,000 housing units for people who make over $100,000 a year, right? So, like, when we think about, like...
Oh, a significant amount of homes.
Yeah, when we think about, like, attainable housing or people being able to afford houses, we think of it as, like, the low-income spectrum, and that's a problem, too. We have two shortage of houses for folks who are... you know, more working class, but it's also like, you know, you're making six figures. You think of that as a good salary. You still can't find a home that's not like out of your price range.
Right.
And that's a real big problem.
And it bumps it down, right? Because then if you can't find something in your price range and you bump down to the next tier, and then that affects down. Everything else. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. There's that filtering effect. So that's like the biggest challenge, I think, for the Lehigh Valley right now is like accommodating all that growth. And it's a good problem to have, right? It's obviously like an indication of our success. But I do think like, What I, and, you know, talking about being like the next generation of leaders, like I think what's exciting for us is, you know, the previous generation of leaders in the Lehigh Valley, like their goal was to like reinvent us, right? Was to take us out of that post-Bethlehem Steel era and like figure out what our new identity was and get us to a level where we weren't struggling, but we were like thriving.
Sure.
Now I think like the next group of leaders has to like preserve that quality of our life, right? Like we can't lose the things that made us great. And part of that was always... we were affordable. We were a place, you know, you could buy a decent starter home and raise a family. So I think like we don't want to become victims of our own success. We don't want like all the success we're experiencing to now start to have like negative consequences for people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, the housing is a big component of that, right? Like we've done such a good job at creating a demand to live here. We now can't price out people who have lived here for generations or make it hard for like new families to come here and call this place home. So it's like that both ends of the, you know, spectrum.
All while having a balance of the green space that we love here is because when you build houses, it's taken out a cornfield more times than not, right?
Correct,
and
yeah.
So it's like figuring out how to continue to have the agriculture, have the green space that people you opened up, love the valley, can go out to Jacobsburg and be able to find open space, but also have the urban environment.
Yeah.
If you take that away, whether it's housing or through the different type of industrial, but you can't not do those things, right? You got to be able to grow. You got to be able to bring economic power into the community. So balance,
absolutely,
compromise, like you were talking about.
Yeah, well, and smart growth, like that's, I'm a big urban planning nerd, and so like I love smart growth. Like it's all about walkability, density, right? Like how we build things matters. And to your point, like, you know, we can do more of the suburban sprawl, which is really ineffective, or we can build more like we've done in downtown Allentown and Easton and Bethlehem and the suburbs, where we're creating more walkability, right? Where like, you know, we're building housing next to amenities, right? People want to be able to walk to everything, want to be able to bike, want to be able to get to and from, you know, the things that they want without having to drive a half hour. And
yeah.
I think everybody in Lehigh Valley, you know, knows traffic is becoming like the biggest problem too.
Yep.
And certainly you don't have to be on 22 as a parking lot for more than an hour before you realize like we are probably pushing ourselves to capacity here with our road systems.
Yeah,
right?
Roads and infrastructure need to be updated for the capacity that they're at here. But taking it back a little bit,
yeah.
I mean, you didn't just decide, and well, maybe you did, but you likely didn't just decide one day and be like, I'm going to be PA state senator, and you went and ran for it, and now you're here. Like, there was a journey to get
correct,
there.
Yeah.
What did that look like for you?
Well, I mean, I've always, I think, been interested in public service, right? Like, I was a history buff, so, like, growing up, I was always interested in U.S. history and, you know, political history, so, you know, big Kennedy fan, right? Read every book I could on Bobby and Jack. So I always definitely loved history, public service from a very like abstract perspective. But it's also my family, right? So like growing up, like the reason my parents got divorced was my dad came out. So my dad is a gay man and my sister is a trans woman. And so, you know, politics has always been like innately personal to me, right? The people
for
that
sure.
are in the room matter, and, you know, the belief systems that they carry with them matter. I know what it was like growing up when those issues were not as culturally accepted as they are today, and then there weren't as many leaders on those issues, right? There wasn't really a lot of voices for marriage equality and acceptance. I realized, you know, there's got to be somebody fighting in the room for families like mine, right? There's got to be people that realize, you know, every voice matters, every person matters. And at the end of the day, like, everybody just deserves to be who they are. And so I think I've always been motivated by that general sense of equality and opportunity and that freedom, right? This idea that like everybody should be able to be who they are, their authentic self, without anybody interfering with who you want to love or who you want to be. And that always motivated me. That's why like I always knew I wanted to end up in politics and public service, because there's always somebody with a perspective of feeling left behind or left out, right? And I felt like that way about my family, and people have that feeling in a variety of ways, right? Like whether you feel like you're struggling economically and you feel left behind, right? Like there's nobody fighting for me. Who cares about my family? You know, I'm struggling to pay the rent. I can't trying to put food on the table, you know, I'm trying to take care of my kids. I think everybody has that universal perspective of like wondering, is there someone out there who cares about me, who understands my hardship? And so I, you know, again, come at it from that sense of empathy, right? That like at the end of the day, public service is about making people feel and recognize that, you know, you care about their experience, you recognize their hardship, and you genuinely want to do everything you can to absolve it or address it and make it go away, right? You want to make people's lives easier, right? Like, that is ultimately our job in government, is to fight for people and to use the levers of government to help people's lives, improve their lives, help them do better. That was always what put me on that path, right? And yeah, I didn't just run for state representative. Most people probably remember that I ran for mayor in 2017, fresh out of college and idealistic and hungry. And you know, I jumped into the mayor's race at, you know, 22, 23 years old. And
you got to do that, though.
People thought I was crazy. You know? Yeah, absolutely. I threw myself on the pyre and I decided why not. It was a great experience. It was very much about just making my mark and kind of demonstrating, you know, that I had a vision and a sense of myself and what I aspired for the Lehigh Valley to be. You know, I obviously did not win, but I never lost that doggedness and that tenacity, and I just kept at it.
Heck yeah, man. I love that. I love that. There's a lot of great nuggets in there, and we're going to come back to those here in the second session. We're going to take a quick pause here, but we're going to get back with Josh Siegel, PA State Representative here. I'm Lewis Holzman, your host of Young Valley Leaders, and we'll be back soon.
WDIY presents a selection of award-winning public affairs programs weeknights from 6 to 7 p.m. Listen to important conversations regarding art, science, politics, and more here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Check our website for new topics and archive programs. WDIY Public Affairs on 88.1 FM, streaming at WDIY.org, on the app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, and we are back. Lewis Holzman here with State Representative Josh Siegel, here with Young Valley Leaders on WDIY 88.1. We were talking about, you know, what kind of direction and path that Josh took to be able to find himself in the PA State Representative seat. So obviously you're very active in the community. What organizations or causes are near and dear to you? Talked about housing a little bit.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Housing, public transit, for sure. I certainly love, you know, working and sitting out in Atlanta, especially a lot of people in the Lehigh Valley. Atlanta is a lifeline, you know, getting to school, especially for kids in Allentown. Yeah, I love that Atlanta does free bus passes for kids, especially for ASD kids. That's a huge resource to get to and from school. And,
massive.
And, yeah, I mean, that's a big deal. And look, you know, for a lot of folks in Allentown, you know, who may not have a car or, you know, like, that's their lifeline to get to work, to get to the grocery store. I mean, so definitely public transit. Early childhood education, I think one of my favorite things about being a PA State Rep is I have a lot of daycare facilities, a lot of like early childhood education centers in district, and okay. I love touring those centers. I get to, you know, present proclamations when they get to their Keystone 4-star status, which is like the highest rating you can attain for an early childhood education center. And I get the chance to always read to the kids, and I love the 3 to 4 year old range because like they got like just this cool energy, this like they're excited that I'm there, they want to learn from me and stuff, and I really enjoy that. I just think, you know, especially daycare, like my wife and I are getting ready to start a family. And so like that part is entering my head.
Cool.
Like it's expensive. Daycare is not cheap.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I love it. That's always been the thing I've wanted most out of life is to be a father. And so I just think it's such a cool thing to be able to actually like be there early on as a rep and just getting a sense of how important it is for other people's families. But I love those experiences and those sort of the organizations that I think are like nearest to like my heart, just both from a policy, like passion, like these things matter. And also just they're very real, like it makes a difference in people's lives in a day-to-day, like it is a lifeline for people.
It's really amazing. I'm glad to have you in the seat here today, but in the seat in Ashburg, man, because everything you're talking about really does genuinely come off as people. So that's definitely what we need in a role like you. So thank you. You just mentioned your wife and kind of forward-thinking thoughts about what you guys maybe want to do with the family. How do you balance, even right now, work, family, play, let alone adding anything else in? Like, what does that even look like?
It's definitely not easy because this job doesn't have hours, right? Like, we're not 9 to 5. Like, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, I go to the office generally for a set period of time, but then it's like, oh, I have a 6 o'clock this, and we got to go tour this, and I've got to go leave the district to go do this. So it can be tough, but we always try to carve out time for ourselves. I'm very big on, you know, like discipline. So like I love to get up early and go to the gym. So I'm 6 days a week at the gym. I get up early in the morning. I take my pre-workout, which I probably shouldn't. It's very bad for you, but I need the 350 milligrams.
That's the pump.
I need the caffeine, you know, I need the 350 milligrams. I got to get that tinge in my arms.
Yep.
But I get up early, I go to the gym, which is like my kind of like, that's my personal zen time. I usually have a podcast in and I just get my workout in. And then my wife and I always carve out time for, you know, date nights. We love the Trexler Town Movie Tavern. We always like, we got to do a movie night there every like 2 weeks. We got to go see something. So got our reclining chairs, we get our burgers, and, you know, so that's sort of like always making sure I make time for family. I try to do dinner with my dad, you know, once every 2 weeks, you know, we sit down. We do Sunday dinner with her parents that live out in Lebanon County.
Okay.
So my wife's from Lebanon. You know, we drive out there to go see her family. She actually, their parents just welcome their first grandkids. So we love to go out there and see our nephew. So he's adorable. We always try to make sure we carve out that time, like that we know that no matter what comes up, like that time's sacred. And like, it doesn't matter what might come up on my calendar, like not cancel anything for that.
Right.
So.
Yeah, no, and that's what's so important with the people and the things that are the closest to us is like.
A lot of boundaries. It's got to be like, hey, this is important.
People make time for the things that are important to them, and if they don't do it, then that says the other thing about it. So transitioning, you know, it sounds like family is a core value here, but what are some of the core values or driving principles that you have and that you operate with in your day-to-day, but also within your role that, you know, you can attribute some of your success to?
Well, like I said, definitely, like, discipline. I'm always about make a plan, work a plan, right? So, I mean, I always like to think 5 and 10 years down the road and, like, what are the action items to get me to these goals, right? Like, you know, I, like you said, I definitely didn't just wake up and say, you know, be a state representative. It was, you know, I want to be a public servant. What do I need to do to prove myself to the community? What do I need to do to, you know, to stay on that path? From a personal standpoint, like, you know, I wanted to get back in shape. I think over the pandemic, a lot of us struggled, and I certainly did. I pretty much stopped going to the gym.
You know, yeah, I remember seeing you running in Trexler Park with, like, some serious pounds on you.
Oh,
not body pounds, backpack.
I took up rucking for a while, which is like just putting a lot of weight in a backpack.
Yeah, that's
like
exactly what
marching.
It was.
Yeah, that was brutal. That was fun. So that was a lot of sweating. But no, I mean, that's and I will say one of the biggest things that definitely motivates me is legacy. There's a really great Latin phrase, you know, memento mori, which is remember your end, right? Like, remember you're mortal. And so I always think about, you know, how will the things that I do be judged when I'm gone, right? And I think that that is always how I keep myself focused on the things that matter most, right? Family and leaving a legacy that's positive and improving the community, right? Making the world a better place. Like, I am very much interested in people being able to look on my life and say, hey, these are things I aspire to. Those are values I want to live by. Like, this is a life well lived, and that's somebody we should emulate. And so that's a huge factor in what keeps me focused, right, is like, you never want to not be true to yourself, and you never want to do anything that, like, you know, there's some mistakes you can't undo. There's some mistakes you can't get rid of.
Yeah.
You know, and so I want to be proud of the life I lived, proud of the husband that I was and the father that I want to be and the family person that I am and also the public servant that I was. And so, like, you only get one chance to do it right. And so I think that that is what's helped me realize, like, look, you know, I don't want to ever regret any year that I've lived or anything I've done.
Yeah, so thinking about some other things before we started the show, we were talking about Music Fest. We were talking about the Allentown Fair. What are some things that are fun to do here in the Valley? Any best-kept secrets, hidden gems, anything like that?
Let's see. Well, my wife and I are ice cream fans, right? We have a sweet tooth, so we're always checking out different ice cream spots. So we love the Cup here in Bethlehem.
Okay, classic.
Utter Bar, Ice Cream World.
Yep.
We love Bankstone Creamery, Bank Street Creamery in Easton. Okay. So we're always checking out sweet spots.
Yeah, you guys do got the spots.
We got the spots. You've seen me in Trexler. We love the parks. We love the park system here in the Valley. So Trexler, we love walking around the Rose Garden, Cedar Beach. We definitely love the Allentown Parks. We're always out either running in the parks, taking early morning walks. My wife always walks by Jordan Creek because we live right there, so we're really fortunate. Love the hiking in the Lehigh Valley. Like I said, the state parks are even just not too far outside. Bushkill Falls, you know, like we definitely love doing the outdoors. Nothing like a Sunday morning, like, hike, like, you know, like 4 or 5 hours outside. It's a nice way to, like, let loose, get away from everything.
Yep.
But I don't know what I would call them. It's necessarily hidden gems, I guess. I think a lot of people in the Valley definitely know them, but we appreciate them. So, you know, we're always trying different places. And then definitely just appreciating, like, a lot of the natural resources the Valley has. And especially Allentown. Like, we're so blessed to have a cool and just, like, fantastic park system in Allentown. You know, the park city of USA, right? Like, we have more park space per capita than any city in the country. So it's, like, really cool.
I mean, when you were talking about, I totally am on the same page with you on the legacy train. So that was really neat to hear you say that. But when you think about from our park system standpoint, in general, Trexler, the legacy that he was
100%,
able to leave,
right? 100
which
years
is
later.
Much bigger than the parks, but it's like he's core to having the parks.
100 years later, we're still, like, you know, like,
relying on him for the maintenance.
Exactly.
So it's pretty incredible. It's pretty incredible to be able to have that. You've covered a lot, Josh, so I appreciate your time here today. And when you think about what does it mean to be a young leader here in the Valley, and you're leading, you know, at one of the highest tiers, if you can rank it that way in some respect. So what does
I
that mean
I think locally,
to you?
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
I think it just, you know, it means, you know, like we benefited because at one point in time there was, you know, there was an earlier generation of young leaders who, like, you know, grew up here or moved here and, you know, loved the Lehigh Valley and passed it off, right? Made sure they made the right choices so that, you know, we could inherit the fruits of their, like, labor. And I think, like, what's exciting is that there's so many people that are also, like, it's a new generation of leaders that are inspired in so many different spaces, right? Whether it's the arts and culture scene and or in government service, you know? And I think it just means, like, we all also have an equal responsibility, right? Like, now, like I said, we have to make sure that we hand off the Lehigh Valley to the next generation in an equally better spot, right? And like, make sure that, you know, we don't price out families. And you know, we make sure 30, 40 years from now, when someone my age is sitting in this chair, like, they don't feel like, you know, the Lehigh Valley has lost its luster or lost its value, or, like, you know, it's a place that's only for the super wealthy because we've made houses $800,000 a year.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's an exciting time to be here because we have a real opportunity to, like, the decisions we make now are going to carry a real consequence. Like, it's going to decide whether or not the Lehigh Valley continues to be a great place to live, or we make a lot of bad decisions that could, you know, affect its quality of life. I always say, like, Northern Jersey is going to be like one big traffic jam and, like, just a lot of, like, misery, which is what everybody's fleeing.
Yeah.
Everybody runs away from that, right? Like, there's nobody wants to, like, live in, like, you know, 2-hour traffic jams.
No.
So, no, it's an exciting time to be a young leader in the Valley because there's so many great people involved in different spaces, you know, all trying to make their mark and, like, all coming from the same place, which is, like, a love of what this area has to offer.
How can people follow you or get in touch?
You can certainly follow my professional pages, right? So you can follow me, you know, Rep Siegel. I have a Facebook and Instagram. Sign up for our weekly e-newsletter if you go on our official webpage, right? The state, you know, runs our official webpage. If you put your name and email in there, you'll get our e-newsletter. So you'll get a sense of not just what I'm doing, but sort of what's happening in Harrisburg, which
cool.
I think is a valuable resource. Get an idea of what's going on in the Commonwealth and keep yourself appraised of that. Obviously, follow me on your, you know, my personals. That's pretty easy to find me. It's all just Siegel for Progress. Got an Instagram. I've got a Facebook. I don't really have much of a TikTok presence, but I should probably do that. So
it's tough.
It's tough, man. I can't do all the damn.
Really,
I don't do the content.
Either.
Yeah, that's sorry. It's tough, yeah. And I honestly don't even post that much anyway.
Right.
So, but yeah, that's how you can stay in touch with me and follow the happenings.
So as we wrap up here, any advice, final comments, words of strength, encouragement for our upcoming leaders listening in?
Yeah, I mean, I think just stay the course, right? Like, I definitely think my pathway in public service was obviously, could never have predicted exactly. You know, I didn't know that I would be a rep exactly at this point, right? But I think just don't lose that tenacity and that drive, right? Like, if, like I said, make a plan, work a plan. If you want to be something, like, you know, I've always believed that age is just a number, right? Like, and I think especially in this modern world, I always think back, you know, it wasn't uncommon to have, like, you know, 16, 17-year-olds, like, leading armies, right?
Totally.
Like, you know, 2,000 years ago, it was like, you know, first of all, 18 was considered middle-aged. And,
yeah.
You know, there were 18-year-old kings and generals. And so it's like, I've always said, like, you know, don't let that age thing, just keep at it, right? Nobody should be able to tell you, like I've met people 30 years my senior have no idea what they're doing. And then, you know, I've met people younger than me that have got super drive and a worldly, like, sense of themselves. And it's all how you carry yourself, and it's all how prepared you are, right? Just whatever you do, do it well, work hard. Whatever you want to do, learn it well, like, know your stuff, right? And that's all you need, right? Like, don't let anybody ever tell you that, like, you need more time or, like, you need more, you know, of anything. Like, work hard, know your stuff, and you'll be fine, right? Like, it's just all about proving that you've got the drive and the willingness to work harder than anyone else. And I think that whatever space you're in as a young person, you know, that whole wait your time thing, I think is, I've never believed in that, right? Like, you make your time, and your time is when you decide it is, and when you, and, you know, to prove yourself.
Especially with technology that we have now, it's allowed the younger generation to grasp onto things even quicker or more effectively than the older, just because they don't learn at the same speed that we have.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. I definitely think, you know, even generations coming up after us, like, I'm always impressed by just,
oh,
like,
God,
the depth of knowledge and, like, cultural awareness that they have,
yeah,
you know, like,
yeah,
it's incredible.
Awesome. Well, that does it, Josh. Thank you. This is episode 7 of Young Valley Leaders in the books. Big thanks again, Josh, for coming out, taking the time today.
My pleasure.
Joining us, bringing in a lot of great insight into the valuable world of community, government, economic empowerment, housing, transit. It's really been a pleasure having you, and we look forward to any comments or questions or thoughts or feedback from any listeners. You can find the show airing live monthly on WDIY 88.1 FM on the second Monday of each month, and forever streaming with all other episodes on WDIY.org, along with Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and WDIY's YouTube and social media channels, and I believe NPR. A big shout out to some people making this program possible. Lauren Matthews with an awesome logo of Young Valley Leaders brand. Matt Cajun live and in studio with us, making the behind the scenes camera work come to life. And James Seamus and all the good folks here at WDIY giving us the time and space to bring the show alive and disseminate across this website, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, social media, and more. Again, I'm Lewis Holzman, your host of Young Valley Leaders here at WDIY 88.1 FM. Thanks for tuning in and signing out.